Welcome to Cuz We're Nerds, the podcast that covers trends and new releases in comics, movies, video games, board games, and much more. I'm your host, Caleb, and with me is my brother, Jacob.
Hey, everybody.
Today, we're talking HBO's latest series, Watchmen. Being an adaptation of a beloved comic, is the series a worthy successor? What modern twist does it add? And how does it stack up against 2009's theatrical film? Find out on this week's episode of Cuz We're Nerds. Jacob, I'll leave this podcast for you to edit. You'll look up and say, "Help me," and I'll whisper, "No."
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah, so
that's awesome.
Watchmen. Who watches The Watchmen?
The Watchwomen.
Oh, yes. Have you ever seen the movie or read the comic book?
Yes, I have. Actually, I saw it this year.
The movie?
Yeah.
Care to elaborate?
Let's see. I saw it probably a couple months ago. I was sitting around one day bored, and I was like, you know what? I've never seen The Watchmen. So I rented it on my Fire Stick TV. Watched it. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay.
Your typical superhero movie, but it was good.
Yeah, definitely. Have you ever read the comic?
I have read part of a comic. Yep.
Not the Watchmen comic, just a comic.
No, it's just some random comic I saw on the floor and I just decided to read it.
Yeah, the puppy squad.
I read part of a Watchmen comic.
The original? Just one. The original or like the new stuff?
Probably the newer stuff. It was whenever I was in a comic book store a couple months ago. So
yes, the new stuff. Yeah. So I have also seen the movie. I saw it like, I was in high school. So it wasn't in 2009, but maybe a year or two afterwards. I borrowed it from a friend and I watched it. And I liked it at the time. I haven't seen it since, I don't think. But I liked it. I know that it's a very divisive film for those who love the comic. Strangely, I own the comic and I've owned the comic for years, but I have never actually read it myself.
Kind of like the several hundreds of other comics that you have not read, but own.
Sort of. Don't give away my secrets.
It's okay. I mean, it's okay. You got so much. It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah. Anyway, I hope to read it at some point. It's such a classic book. I mean, you know, of course, I've opened it up and like flipped through it and seen stuff from it, but I've never actually sat down and read the whole thing. They have done a lot of new stuff in the last few years. They did Before Watchmen, I think was the first one they went back and did several years ago, and it was stories before.
It's set before The Watchmen.
Yes, exactly. I mean, tough. It's tough to figure that out. And then they did Doomsday Clock, which basically tied in Watchmen to the mainstream DC universe. That might actually still be going. I think that one got delayed, and it's been going for like over a year now. It's a miniseries. Anyway.
Cool.
Yeah. So, but traditionally, Watchmen has been set apart from the main DC continuity. In fact, some people might not even realize that Watchmen is a DC property, because for the last 30 or so years, it was its own thing. It was a graphic novel that was published by, I believe, Alan Moore and maybe some other people. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. And it became one of the pillars of the comic book community, both in terms of how much people loved it and in terms of how influential it was and how it changed how comic books can be written.
Interesting. Yeah, I realized that Watchmen was DC a few years ago. More than a few. I mean, it was probably, I don't know, 2013, 2012. Me and you had a conversation. You own some of the DVDs. And pretty sure you're the one that informed me it was with DC. Because, like I said, I have never really read anything, you know, about them other than the few pages I've read a couple months ago. But yeah, I didn't realize until last year, maybe the year before that, that the mainstream of it wasn't really in the same universe as the rest of the DC comics.
Mm-hmm.
However, I was aware that they were kind of converging them a little bit, which I think is really cool. I think this could tie in really well with some other DC characters, and you could have some really interesting storylines. So I might have to, you know, maybe snag part of that, see if I enjoy it.
Yeah, definitely. But we are here today to talk about HBO's series, Watchmen, which is not actually affiliated with the 2009 film, which some people might assume. It is a direct, well, maybe not direct, it is a continuation of the comic book. Now, when this was announced, I know there was a lot of trepidation because 2009's film, like I said, was met with divided responses. Some people did like it. I myself liked it. Other people felt that it was boring. Some people felt that it did not do the comic justice. It did actually change the ending of the book to something else. It kind of accomplishes, from what I understand, the same thing, but the circumstances around how the end of that movie comes about changed, probably to make it a bit more realistic. I'm going to spoil Watchmen, but I mean, it's a 40-year-old comic book now, and you know, you kind of should know that going into the show. So at the end of Watchmen, a giant space interdimensional squid is hurled into New York City and blows up the entire city.
Oh, okay. Okay, the show makes a little more sense now.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Think of the thing that's at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy 2. The interdimensional beast that they're fighting, but
yes.
Way bigger, and it's a squid.
Yeah. Make some nice calamari.
right. So that's not how the 2009 film ended. That's how the comic ended, and that's where this show picks up. So people weren't really sure what to think. When the trailer came out, people were actually pretty optimistic about it, but it was unclear what this was going to be. Because when HBO said they were going to make one, they didn't say if it was going to be an adaptation, they didn't say if it was going to be a sequel, a prequel, what it was going to be. And what we ended up getting is a continuation, a sequel to the comic set a good 30 years or so after in somewhat modern day. Now, Watchmen does take place in an alternate timeline where things went a little bit different. So even though it might be somewhat modern day to us, it's not our modern day. So they've got technology that we don't currently have.
Yes.
And that brings us to the show itself. Now, I think to talk about this, we're going to have to pretty much go full spoilers. So I'm just going to say, if you're interested in this at all, go watch it. And then come back. It's worth watching before we get into it.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, spoilers ahead. So, just right off the bat, Jacob, what did you think of this single episode?
Okay, so, immediately, I don't know a ton about Watchmen other than the movie, so I didn't really know, like you said, what to expect going into this. I didn't know what it was at all. But, coming out of the movie, coming out of the show, the first episode, I actually think I like this.
You think you like it?
I think I like it. I'm pretty sure I like it. There's a few things that kind of caught me off guard. But for the most part, I like it. I knew it was going to be a very different type of show upon the opening sequence.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Set in, is it Oklahoma?
Yeah, Tulsa.
Yeah, Tulsa. And, you know, you have basically these white supremacists going around and killing everybody in this town. And I was like, whoa, that was not what, you know, and I really liked how they kind of showed the past, which is going to be pretty evident, I think, pretty important throughout the rest of the series. And then they immediately tied it into the future. You know, and open it up with their present day. I thought that was really cool. I love the characters in here. I really like the action. I will say the one thing that threw me off a lot was the squids. I was confused.
Yeah.
I heard the alarm and I thought there was going to be another like, so obviously if you're listening now, you've seen the show or you're just listening. Basically there's an alarm that goes off and everybody that's driving pulls off and these tiny squid, like squid babies, not squid babies, they're baby squids, not squid babies. That could be alarming. So these baby squids are like falling out of the sky, like it's raining and people are just acting like it's no big deal. Like this is just a regular thing that happens. And then you know it is because you see this truck that's like a snowplow kind of, but it has like the alien symbol on it. And so apparently they just go out and clean the streets after this. So this is a pretty regular thing. And I was like, where did that come from? I was like, that's so, I was up to point on all of this until then. Like that's what?
Yeah, they don't really explain it. I watched some behind the scenes stuff with this after we watched it, and they were talking about how they tried to craft a show that it honors the original comic, but you don't have to have read it coming in. And this was the one thing that I was like, that would be really kind of confusing to someone who had no idea how the comic ended. And there's a couple hints. There is a flash of the actual squid at some point in the show. I don't remember when, but they're flashing through. I think it's when they're interrogating the guy. There is a quick flash picture of this what I assume is the space squid. So like there's kind of hints here and there, but yeah, they don't really explain what's going on and it is bizarre. I don't know if maybe the squid blew up and it's still coming down, but that's 30 years later, so that doesn't seem right.
Well, there was a throwaway line that says it talks about the interdimensional space attacks.
So maybe so, the things are still being opened.
Yeah, so basically it's whenever the guy was questioning, interrogating the other guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, do you think the interdimensional, you know, space attacks are a government hoax or whatever? Yeah, so maybe that just keeps happening, and it's very random, you know?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, yeah, so this opening caught me off guard too, and I spent the entire rest of the episode trying to figure out what was going on because I knew that this was supposed to be about 30 years after the comic, which I was pretty sure was set in the 80s, and I was trying to do the math on this. I'm like, well, this is 1921, then that would be almost 100 years old, plus like the kid's like, I don't know, 8 or something, 5, whatever. And yeah, so he would be over 100 years old. So that, like, I thought at first it was the police officer. I'm like, that can't be the case. What's going on? I was very confused until the very end when he did finally show back up. And I'm very curious to see how he plays into this show from here on out.
Yeah, I'm really interested. This show definitely has kind of got me caught up and I'm very curious at where it's going. The first episode does a really good job, I feel like, of grabbing new people, drawing you in. Like you said, I haven't read the original comic, but I was still really interested at the same time. So I feel like it does a really, really good job of just kind of grabbing your attention and making you ask what's coming next.
Yeah, I actually really, really enjoyed this first episode. It ended and I was like, wait a minute. I feel like I just started this. Like it was so gripping and it brought you in so much. I will say that I did know the sheriff dude was going to die. They were spending way too much time with him. He was way too likable of a character. Mm-hmm. He was either going to die, which I thought for most of the episode, or right before he did die, I thought, well, maybe he's going to turn and he's part of the terrorist group. But of course, you know, he ended up dying.
Did you know that the Tulsa scene at the beginning of the show is actually based off of a real event?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it actually happened in Tulsa in 1921. Basically, it was, they changed it a little bit. A cop shot a unarmed black man, and basically there were these riots going on, and the whole city basically broke into chaos, kind of like you see here. There wasn't as much killing in the actual event, but people were beaten, and people were, you know, being shot left and right, and so I didn't realize that until I was reading something about the show, and then it was talking about the real event, and I went to read an article, and yeah, it's very much based on that 1921 Tulsa event.
That's interesting. Yeah, I was wondering about that because as I was reading afterwards, the timeline this is set in pretty much is our timeline until about the 50s. There's some event where that's where it kind of diverges. So at this point, it should be theoretically pretty much our timeline. So I was wondering how that fit in.
Yeah, I was reading that. And I think it's pretty evident, you know, coming up that this is based in not in our timeline, but around the same time as us. You see most of the same technology. You see a few extra things, obviously, but there's also a few different laws, right? So, like, obviously, you see the police wear the masks. That way, their identity can't be seen. You see that their guns are actually locked, and they have to ask for permission to unlock them. And I think that this show is actually going to spark some debate. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, not only about comic book stuff, and I know would like just a comic book podcast, but I kind of want to see like the political debate this show brings, because I feel like it's definitely going to bring one.
Oh, yeah, we were watching it, and Courtney was like, you know, this is actually kind of scary, because I could see with the state our society is in currently, how some of these things could happen, like the police stuff where they end up having to wear masks to protect themselves, how there's a lot of political unrest, and how something in the vein of these extremists could come about, maybe not necessarily centered on race like it is here, but centered around politics, because it, you know, it kind of feels like it could be something like that could happen, because we are so much at odds as a country right now that there are people on one side who feel very strongly. There are people on the other side who also feel very strongly, and we are definitely not united.
Oh, no. And I could, like, these masked police, I could really see that, like, happening just with everything that's been going on. The gun locks, I could also see that happening, maybe not to the extent it's used here, but I could see that happening. Now, speaking about the police, what did you think about the masks that they used?
I like them. I was very confused about them in the trailers, but I think the way they're explained and used here, it makes a lot of sense.
I really liked it. My favorite mask, I don't know what the character's name, but the guy that interrogates...
Yeah, the silver one.
The supremacist. Yeah, that mask is... awesome. Like,
I was just wondering the whole time, how do you breathe in a mask like that?
See, I was wondering that. See, it must just be very porous, you know?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. I just thought it was really cool. Now, I will say, I thought it was a little weird whenever you see them in their meeting watching the video from the supremacist, and you see, like, some people, like that big actor that I didn't know was in here, the Russian one. He's just wearing a red ski mask.
I don't know him.
Oh,
I know who. Yeah, you're talking I mean, I've about, seen him. But
yeah, So, but in that meeting, I was surprised. Like, there was that one guy that had the giant like panda head or bear head or whatever yeah, it was.
That felt like something. I was like,
what?
Yeah, that felt like something that would be in a comic.
Yeah, like, everything up until that point, I was, like, following. You know, like, the mask, like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And then I see the panda head or whatever, I was like,
I had a similar reaction. Yeah, it felt to me like just a slight step farther than reality. So it wasn't, like, too much for me to handle, but it was, yeah, it caught me off guard. I will say I was wondering about, I don't know if he was the sheriff or what his title was, but the head guy of the police... I'll just call him the sheriff. He never wears a mask, so I'm wondering what the politics is when all of the police wear masks, but he doesn't. And it seems like it might be public knowledge about who he is.
Yeah, so I was kind of reading about some stuff, and I was watching because I was curious too. I think if you are in a major role, I feel like you don't wear a mask. There was also someone else in the police department that didn't wear a mask, and they were, I don't know, I wish I remembered. It was at some point, but basically they were some of the higher ups, I think. So if you're in like a higher position, you know, where like you're in the public eye more, I think you don't wear a mask. However, if you're just like a street level cop or detective, I think you have to wear one. If you're coming into contact with criminals on a day-to-day basis, I think you have to wear a mask, whereas these upper levels, you know, it's mainly a desk job. Now, you do see the sheriff get out more here, but for the most part, it's a desk job.
Now, one thing that did catch me off guard about this show is it seems to be very much racially centered. And as far as I know, again, I haven't read the comic, but the comic is not that way. I think that the conflict that correlates to this in the comic is about class. So like upper class and lower class and things like that. But I don't really think race plays into it at all. And so that kind of caught me off guard, but it feels on one hand very retro in, like, you know, the civil rights movement, but on the other hand, very, very much current with all of the racial things going on. And that was actually kind of strange because I feel like Watchmen in general straddles that line of being something fairly retro, but also being very current.
Now, did you catch at the very end when the sheriff is hung, the guy in the wheelchair is the kid from the beginning?
Yes, yes, definitely. That's why I said I spent the whole episode trying to figure out how it fit in.
See, I was confused because I thought that the kid from the beginning was actually the police officer that was first shown.
Right, yeah, I wondered that initially, but I knew it couldn't be him because he was way too young.
Yeah, but it never said how much later it was, you know?
Yeah, I only knew that because I had read some stuff previously. If you stayed and watched the preview for the next episode, did you?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. So in that preview, it's actually for the rest of the series. There's a clip of that guy, the old version, saying that he's 105 years old.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so that would...
I wonder if the baby that he say... Oh, my goodness. you false.
Yeah, that would put it roughly around 2019.
Okay. I'm wondering if the baby that he saved is ever going to come up.
I'm sure. Like, it'll have to. Otherwise, why do it?
True. What do you think about the main female lead?
Oh, Regina King? Oh, she's great. I mean, I've seen her in other things. She's great in everything I've seen her in. I'm surprised how much I buy her as a physical actor, because I thought that she's traditionally not playing physical roles, and I thought maybe that might come off kind of funny, but no, I completely buy her as this tough as nails woman who is kind of like a Batman type character.
Oh yeah, I love her character. I love how her hideout is a bakery. You know, big fan of that. I like her vehicle. I like the whole aspect of the show. The costumes, they are not so far fetched. You know, they're realistic because they're just everyday things you could go buy at the store. So I really like that. I am wondering how, if they're going to explain a little bit more how, is it Rorschach?
Yes, Rorschach.
But how basically why these people are following him.
Okay, so I was actually going to go into this. So there are several nods to the comic in this first episode. Some of them are in the form of returning characters. Some of them are in the form of character homages. So one of the returning characters we get is the original quote-unquote villain of the comic is Ozymandias. And see, it's either Ozymandias or Ozymandias. I'm not actually sure.
That's what I thought it was. I thought it was the second one, which is also, his name's also Veidt. I think it's Veidt.
Veidt. Okay.
It's V-E-I-D-T.
Yeah. Right. So he is actually in this show. Jeremy Irons is playing him. And I say quote unquote villain because, you know, it's a morally complex comic. So you could say he's the villain or you could say he was doing the right thing. Up to you. I believe that the anniversary they're celebrating here is when the squid was dropped, because he is like, that was his whole plan the entire time, was to drop the squid to unite the world, because it was during the Cold War. So again, it was very divided. So his goal was to unite the world. And he succeeded in that. So I think that that's what they're celebrating here. So that's one callback. Rorschach is obviously a character from the original comic. And basically, he found out that the alien was not a natural disaster. He found out that it was orchestrated by Ozymandias. And he dies at the end of the comic, but he wrote it all down in a journal. What I'm assuming happened is the Rorschach people, the extremists, found the journal, spread it. And that is one of the reasons why the interrogator asks if they believe that the stuff is a conspiracy by the government, because it wasn't a natural disaster. It was orchestrated, not by the government, but by Ozymandias.
I see. Now, two things also. One, we find out that this is not the first time that this Rorschach group has risen. You know, that they've had this issue in the past before, they said.
Mm-hmm.
That's been, you know, 20 or 30 years or something like that. But also, I don't know if you saw, Kido, there's actually a newspaper clipping that talks about Veidt and that he was officially declared dead.
No, I saw there was a couple clippings, but they went by too fast for me to read.
Yeah, so there was one clipping. It was the guy looking at it as Regina's character is coming up to her bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very quick. It's only like there for a second, maybe 2 seconds. But it says that Veidt was officially declared dead, and it had like a date. But it was like a pretty present newspaper.
Interesting. I wonder how that plays in.
I have no idea. I saw it and I was like, at first I saw the name, I was like, Veidt, and I was like, I feel like I've heard that character. So I looked it up, I was like, oh yeah, that's Ozymandias, or however you say his name. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah, one of the other things that comes back here is there's a motif of clocks in the original comic. Dr. Manhattan, who is actually the only superpowered being in the comic, all the other superheroes are just regular people, kind of like a Batman type superhero. He erects things that kind of look like clocks. There's just clocks everywhere. I don't remember if it plays into the narrative at all. I think it's supposed to be like the Cold War clock, you know, like countdown to doomsday type thing. And they kind of bring that back here with the tick-tock thing with the Rorschach, which I thought was a pretty cool tie-in, but also being like yes. very topical and kind of creepy in itself. In the preview for the upcoming episodes, I do believe we're actually going to see Dr. Manhattan back, because I think at the end of the comic, he leaves and goes to Mars, and we actually see a clip of that in this episode. And mm-hmm. it looks like
that's what I was going
to
say.
Yep. And it looks like he's going to be coming back and actually appearing in the show.
That's going to be interesting. Do you think we're going to get any other returning characters?
Man, I mean, I think most of them are dead. The TV show that they talk about, the hero something, all the characters in that show are the characters from the comic. So I think that might play into it more. And it's funny to see how these characters have gone on to become celebrated, because in that comic, the older versions of them are celebrated, but the current generation isn't. They're kind of seen as dark and gritty and
yep.
like not pretty, not clean. So it's interesting that they've gone back and kind of given them that image when they didn't have it in the original.
You know what? You know what this show gave me like a vibe of.
What's
what
that?
Other show it reminded me of?
The Boys.
It reminded me of The Boys.
Yep.
Yeah. Just the feel of the show. Not necessarily because I mean there's not really any superpowers here, but just the whole feel and the violence and the dramatic sequences of the show really gave me a vibe of The Boys.
Yeah. Looking back on it, I see that. I didn't get that feeling while I was watching it. I think that. They are both very much comic-inspired, superhero-inspired adult stories, and I think they feel similar in that way, and they're both kind of dark and gritty, but the vibes in general that they give off are fairly different.
All right. I mean, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm just saying. That's my opinion.
No, yeah. I didn't think that really as I was watching it. I was just sitting here, you know, thinking about things to mention, and I was like, wait a second, you know, and I was just thinking that maybe it's just because it's been a while since I've seen The Boys, but it just seemed like, at least obviously that's the closest one, because there's not a lot of these type of shows, you know, I mean, even The Punisher didn't really give me this effect, I feel like.
Right.
I don't know what it is, it's just something different about The Boys and this. I can't even put my finger on it.
Yeah, I got you. One other thing that I felt was pretty expertly done in this is the whole thing that kicks off the original Watchmen is the death of one of the superheroes who's called the Comedian. He is thrown out of a window in his apartment, which is in a skyscraper, and he dies. And of course, during that segment, we get the classic Watchmen smiley face with the blood stain on it. We get that same blood stain, not on a smiley face, but on the badge of the sheriff at the end. And I think this is a really interesting tie-in slash callback. The original Watchmen began with a death of one of the heroes, quote unquote. Here, the series is starting off with the death of one of the heroes, quote unquote. We find out in the comic that the comedian wasn't necessarily such a great guy. And I think that we might end up seeing that again here with the sheriff. There's kind of some foreshadowing that might make it seem like he is sort of aligned with the extremists.
Like the drugs?
I
don't know, that's what you're going to say. I was going to say that there's some things I feel like that kind of points that he's maybe not the most moral
character. Yeah, exactly. And I think that...
And I was just going to point to like... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to point like, obviously, like, you know, he did the drugs during the dinner. Just the way that he acts around, I keep forgetting her name, but Regina's character.
I think I missed the drugs. And the way that
he kind of you missed the drugs?
I think I did. I was, at that point, I was looking at my phone trying to figure out when this was taking place. I think I missed that shot. I didn't realize he took anything.
Okay. So, yeah. So what happens is he walks away from the dinner table. You know, he walks in the other room. And it doesn't show it specifically. It shows it from his back. And you see him reach in his pocket. And it looks like he's putting something on his hand. And he goes, you know, across his hand. And then when he goes back and sits on the dinner table, he's talking about it. And he looks at Regina's character. And she motions at his nose because there's like some powder or stuff on his nose.
Oh.
And he goes like to wipe it off.
Yeah, I totally missed that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's like that. And then there's the way that he kind of turns a blind eye to, you know, the brutality where... You could argue that they're terrorists, so, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. I think some more stuff's going to come up throughout the season. And maybe some of the audiences are going to, you know, kind of sway in their opinion. Because I feel like he's a pretty likable character right now.
Yeah.
But I feel like that might change. I think you're right.
Yeah, I think based on what we've seen in this first episode, this is a really smart retelling. Updated version of Watchmen. I think it's going to tackle some different issues, but I think some of the archetypal structural things of the original is going to come back here. I mean, obviously we've already seen the clock motif come back. We've already seen it kick off with a death. And I think maybe some of those more structural things are going to come back here. Dr. Manhattan coming back, maybe he's going to do something crazy again. So that's cool. There was one other more symbolic thing in the episode I kind of wanted to talk about. There's when we're first introduced to Regina King's character, she's showing the kids how to bake, and she's talking about the eggs. And one thing Courtney noticed is one of the eggs has a drop of blood in it, right? And It makes a smiley face there. So I think that's supposed to be a callback to the smiley face that has the blood drop on it, which, you know, that is very cool. But I think there's a deeper meaning here. She's talking about how if just a little bit of the yolk or the whites get in the yolk, it breaks it down. And I think that is a foreshadowing of what's going to be happening here in this series. And we've already seen it a little bit. The yolk is the police. And if the police become corrupt, even just a little bit, it's going to tear them apart from the inside out. And I think with what happens here with the sheriff and how we have already talked about, he might kind of be a little corrupt. I think that's the start of it, and I think his death is going to be the next level of that. And maybe it's the show is going to be about how the police and the justified, the people who are put in power to protect us, are broken apart, which again plays into the Watchmen, because it's all about the heroes, the people we put on pedestals, the people who are supposed to protect us. What are they actually like? What happens when they go awry? What happens to the rest of us?
I could see that. I could definitely also see the quote unquote new Watchmen in here. You know, like Regina's character and the guy that wears the ski mask. I could see them kind of being, after that happens, not with the police, but also not with the supremacists either, and being in a weird in between, but being hunted maybe by both groups. I feel like that could lead for a really interesting plot.
Definitely. Yeah. Overall, I really like this episode. I think it was a great first start. I'm very much looking forward to the rest of the season.
Oh yeah, I'm super excited. Like you said, the trailers hit and I wasn't really sure what to expect. But I think I'm going to enjoy this and I'm excited to see the next episode.
All right, Jacob. Well, that was that. And this is this. It's time for what you've been up to. And before you even start,
whoa,
Whoa.
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 No, not like whoa, like whoa.
Oh. Okay. Before you jump in, I want to take a second to talk about that Star Wars trailer that dropped last night.
Mm. Okay.
So, what did you think?
Actually, and I think you're going to be surprised by my response.
You haven't
I'm
seen
not it. Really feeling it.
What? No.
I'm not really feeling it. And there's a couple of reasons for it. I just feel like, by this point, I should be really invested in these characters. This is the third movie we've seen with these characters. I feel like I should be emotionally involved with these characters, relationships with these, no. But I feel like, you know, like I should feel for these characters and I should, you know, want certain things from them. And I should, it should hurt whenever I see one of them, like, die, if they're going to die or, but I don't feel emotionally attached to these characters at all. Like, I think Rey could die and I don't think it would affect me. Like, it now it's different. Like, when Han Solo died, spoiler, but I mean, it's been a while. Like, that hurt. Like, that hurt. That was sad. But it's because I had time to get emotionally invested to him. And the writing, I feel like for his character is really good. But these last two movies, I feel like we haven't got to see enough, or we haven't seen enough interaction between them where I don't really have that connection. And I know nothing about these characters still. You know, this is the third movie coming up. I don't know anything about them. And nothing about them really interests me. Kylo Ren's character interests me the most out of any of them. But even then, I just don't like it. I think it's interesting that the Emperor is back, presumably, maybe. However, I don't know, Caleb. I don't really feel connected. And so this trailer didn't really do anything special for me.
You know, it's really funny that you say you got, like, the Han Solo death affected you. Because the Han Solo death was terribly done. In fact, most people that you talk to will say that they didn't really feel anything when that happened, even though they are very invested in the Han Solo character, because the death scene was not done properly. However, I could see your argument with these characters. That's a fairly common argument, that they don't mean anything to people. I like them. I wouldn't say that I'm, like, deeply emotionally invested in them, but I like them and I want to see where they're going. Probably Rey more than the other two. But I thought this trailer was great. I thought the music was phenomenal. It was a very interesting arrangement of the classic theme. I thought that the scene that really got me was the C-3PO scene. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah, no. Okay, no, that kind of hit me. I was
they're
like,
they're going to kill C-3PO.
I will say, you know, whenever we talked about, like, a saga coming to an end, I was like, like, that kind of hit, but it's not because of these characters, it's because it's the saga. You know, it's not necessarily these characters specifically.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't know. I thought it was really great. I thought visually it was stunning. I thought there was some cool stuff we've never seen before. I liked the little bit of the Emperor that we did get. Luke speaks in this, and it could only be for the trailer, but it sure seems like he's going to be back as a Force ghost, which I'm like, I would bet on at this point. I don't know. There have been a lot of leaks about the plot of this movie, and based on this trailer, from what I've seen from people, those are fairly true. So I would very much avoid anything that could even possibly be spoilery, because you might end up reading what actually happens in the movie, which Boss Chris did, Ward did, and I don't know why he would spoil himself like that, but he did it, and I am steering way clear of that.
Did he say that he liked it?
Yes, he did say he liked it.
I don't know. I think it's cool that the Emperor, again, maybe presumably back. I don't know. He was such a big bad, and then we, like, killed him. And it's almost like, you know, in the movies, they talk about let the past die if you have to kill it, you know, whatever. But then we're just seeing the same old past again.
Well, maybe. You know, it depends on how they play it. I could totally see your argument.
That's true.
And be like, the Emperor, why we have to bring him back. But at the same time, if it's the end of a saga, maybe this was his grand plan the entire time. I mean, you know, he always wanted Darth Vader to strike him down so Darth Vader could be greater. And he technically did, not for the reason he wanted him to, but he did. So maybe this was his plan, or maybe it was a backup plan. I don't know. But I'm going to wait to see how it pans out.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish there was some more connection with Anakin and Obi-Wan. Maybe that's my issue. I feel like there's only the connection with the dark side. I wish there was a little bit more connection with, you know, I mean, Luke obviously was in here, obviously. But I don't know. And like you said, it depends how they do it. Like, they could do this and it could blow me away. And I could change all of my arguments, you know, and be like, okay, I was wrong, you know. But just for now, I'm excited because it's a Star Wars movie and I love Star Wars. But I'm not excited because it's the end point of the trilogy. Mm-hmm. I'm just excited because it's a Star Wars movie.
I think that you'll probably get more excited as we get closer, because we did get our tickets. Me and seven other seats I have reserved for.
Seven?
Seven. Yep. We got a whole group of people going.
Is Boss Chris going with us?
No. It's Chris from CNC Power Hour and those peeps, which is that's pretty much them. But I don't think I told you we're going at 9:45 because the 7 o'clock was 3D and they can't do 3D, which sucks. Mm. But anyway, also you owe me money.
Did you get one for Kaylee or no?
I did. If we need it, we'll talk about that off air. But
okay, I was curious.
if we need it, we'll talk about that off air. Anyway, I thought this was really good. I'm excited for it. Other thing that we can both talk about before we wrap up in just a moment is Titans. I think we've both caught up on Titans, right?
Yes.
So you're slightly more caught up than I am. I have not watched the most recent episode, which is titled Bruce Wayne, but I watched everything up until then. And let me tell you, I think it is really good.
Now, let me tell you, this last episode is not as good, sadly. In my opinion, it is the only episode that's come so far that kind of went down, you know, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a bad episode at all. It just wasn't as good. But yeah, I'm really liking Titans.
Yeah, I think
big, big fan.
Sorry.
You good? I didn't know what was happening.
I think the costumes are on point. It's given me a lot of Young Justice vibes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is always a good thing.
And speaking of that, have you seen Young Justice Outsiders?
I have not, actually. I don't think I even finished season 2. Not because I didn't want to. I think because I was buying it at the time, because it was back in like 2012. Or so, and I had to buy them to watch them.
Yeah.
And I think I watched the end of the disc I had, and I had to go buy the next one, and I never got around to it. I'm planning on...
So what's your excuse now?
I'm watching everything else. That's my excuse now. I'm planning on going back in and starting at the beginning and going all the way through.
Okay. Well, season 3, I still haven't finished it, but it's pretty good. So, DC's doing some good stuff in their TV shows.
Yeah.
Like Crisis, with all these crazy things that are coming up.
Yeah. I was trying to think of what the Emperor says, but then I couldn't think of anything. Skywalker.
Yeah, so... Nice.
I don't think that's
so you interrupted my what you've been up to.
Yes, I was going to ask. What else have you been up to, Jacob?
How rude. Well, not much. Again, my life has been pretty boring. I went to Six Flags. That was a lot of fun. I went during the Fright Fest kind of thing. That was a lot of fun. I've already talked to you about that specifically, but not the audiences. So that was fun. I have been playing a little bit of Arkham City.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to go back into the Arkham series.
Yeah, did you please tell me you got it for free again? Do you have it on PS4?
Oh, was Arkham City the one that was on there?
Yes.
For the free game of the month?
No.
No?
Maybe that was Arkham Knight.
I think it was Arkham Knight.
Wait,
Anyway.
Yeah, I think it's Arkham Knight, anyway, not Arkham City.
Yes, I got it if it was the free game of the month. I actually own the whole series on various platforms.
Ah.
I never finished Arkham Knight, actually. I got a bit busy.
Ooh, you need to.
And I know how it ends because I got spoiled. And everybody pretty much knew how it ended before it actually happened. But, I've been thinking about going back and starting at the first one and going through because they're just so good. The Halloween has got me in the mood for that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I was watching Titans and I was watching, all the crime fighting, and I was like, I want to play a crime fighting game. So I put in Arkham Knight, played some. I also may have spent some money on some costumes in the game. So I can play as, like a little Batman Beyond, just maybe Batman New 52, maybe old Adam West Batman, you know. So I like variants to skins in games. So I've been playing through that a little bit. That's been a lot of fun. I have also been playing the new Fortnite map, Chapter 2, which has been fantastic. In case you guys have been living under a rock, Fortnite destroyed their map and the game was completely down for 2 days. When you tried to log on, there was just a black vortex hole thing. That showed random numbers every few hours. Super, super random. Nobody knew what it meant. And then finally, I came back online, and it's a completely new map. They've changed the game design. They've changed how the game looks a little bit. It's super, super cool. They've changed some way that some things work in the game to make it work a bit better. It's really, really good. Big fan of that. Other than that, I've been up to nothing. Oh, I'm hosting D&D still, and tonight, we have a fantastic game planned.
Whoop, whoop.
I have a fantastic game planned. It could go down to sour, because I've kind of had a crappy day, so it really depends what mood I'm in, but I think it's going to be pretty fun.
Deathbolt. I don't know.
What?
I think it's a thing.
Was that a spell?
Yeah. Yes.
Critical failure. You deathbolt yourself.
Oh no.
Well, that's what I've been up to, Caleb. What's you been up to?
Well, since we skipped last week, I've actually been up to a few things. But to boil it down to the most interesting, I watched Kill Bill Volumes 1 and 2, which I have never seen before.
Oh, okay. How'd you like them?
They're fantastic. They're great. I was a little worried when the first one started. So I didn't know what they were, and then I found out what they were, which is why I wanted to watch them. And then the first one started, and in the beginning wasn't what I thought it was, and I was concerned. Mm-hmm. But then it turned into what I thought it was going to be, and it was great. I actually like the second one a little bit better than the first one. Most people don't, but both of those are fantastic. Definitely a must watch if you are into Asian movies or Asian stuff. I call them hop and chop movies, kung fu style movies. It's basically a kung fu movie slapped together with a Western. Pretty cool. And it's Quentin Tarantino, so you can't go wrong with that. The other big thing that I've been doing, and I posted this on our Instagram page, was I decided for Halloween, I wanted to do something Halloween-ish, and Batman is pretty gothic, like Halloween, especially with the Scarecrow, so I decided to jump in to Batman the Animated Series from the 90s and watch the entire series this month.
Yes, you have, which is a task in itself.
It is a task, and unfortunately I didn't decide to do that until the 11th, so I didn't have much time. Basically, I have to watch 4 episodes a day, which is a lot of Batman. To watch, especially when my schedule's as packed as it is. I've been keeping up with it until yesterday. I only got to watch 2, although I was 2 ahead, so theoretically I'm still on schedule, but I think today is going to break that, because I haven't watched any yet.
Yeah, we got a busy night.
Yeah, so I might not quite finish it by the 31st, but it's been great. I'm over halfway at this point. The first episode was a Halloween episode, pretty much, with Man-Bat. The third episode was pretty much a Halloween episode because it was Scarecrow. However, those two were sandwiched in between. Well, I guess the meat of the sandwich was a Christmas episode, strangely enough, with the Joker.
Weird.
Right. So I don't know what was going on with that, but it's been pretty good, pretty good. It drags a little bit around the 20s, but if you get past that, the episodes get really good. The animation gets much better after about the first 15 or so episodes. Also, Batman makes a lot of puns. I don't remember him making this many puns.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he makes a lot of puns.
I haven't watched it in a while, so I don't remember that.
Yeah, and it was funny because there was one episode where he says the puns are bad, and I'm like, ha ha, your puns are bad.
Nice.
Anyway. Well, Jacob, I think that'll do it for this week.
Okay, well, before we jump off, really quick, I had just saw that, in case anybody's interested in planning a little bit, some Black Friday deals have been leaked for Walmart, right? This is coming from a pretty reliable source. So, Caleb, this won't really affect you because you already have these. But so what the source says, which could be wrong, but it's coming from a pretty reliable source, says that the PS4 1TB Slim will be just $150.
Whoa.
Which is not bad at all. It's 50% off. Now the PS4 1TB Pro is not 50% off. It's only $100 off. So instead of the $400, it'll be $300, which is a bit, you know, more steep than the Slim being just $150, which is kind of crazy actually. Now the, also this is crazy. The, Xbox One S, which basically includes like Minecraft, Sea of Thieves, and Forza Horizon, is only $150, which is also insane. That's three games and a console.
Yeah, it's very clearly the end of a console generation when they're that cheap.
Oh yeah, and then lastly, you can get the Nintendo Switch for $200. Which is about $100 cheaper than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was just, I just thought I was going to shit. Oh, and the Nintendo Switch Lite, you can get for $150 instead of $200.
Yeah, just get the real one.
Yeah, I just thought shit. Yeah, the PS4 Slim surprised me. The Xbox surprised me. The Nintendo Switch, I knew that was going to be about that much off. But yeah, just in case you guys thought you might want one and you want to plan ahead, there you go. There's some insider info from CosmoNords, actually from comicbook.com, but actually from somewhere else. So,
all right. Well, we do want to say thank you to Taylor Poole for doing our opening and ending music. You can find him at taylorpoolmusic.com. That's TaylorPoole music.com.
And some people that won't be offering discounts on Black Friday, because they can't, because it's not up to them, are our favorite Twitch streamers, CNC Power Hour. Again, they are on Twitch. They stream Magic the Gathering, a couple other video games. I don't really know what they're doing now, but they've changed their setup a little bit. It looks really, really good, so you guys should go ahead and go check them out.
And you can find all the rest of our episodes and everything else we have to offer on our website, CosmoNerds.com. It's pretty great. It's got some info on us and is the best way to see all of our shows and share it with other people.
And lastly, Caleb will probably say it again in the ending, but he doesn't know this is happening. But make sure you guys tune in next week for a probably special, maybe scary episode. Something a little spooky, you know? Something a little boo, you know? just tune in. See what we got planned for Halloween.
Thanks for listening to Cuz We're Nerds. Stay up to date with all the nerdy news and podcast drops by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also leave us comments and feedback at cuzwerenerds@gmail.com. That's CUZWERENERDS@gmail.com. And as always, if you enjoy this podcast, we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We'll see you next week, and as always, stay nerdy. All right, best Palpatine impression, go.
Oh, no, I don't, what's something he says? Let me think. Okay. So he says Skywalker, kind of like you said, but I can't really do... Okay. I'm just going to say Skywalker, all right?
Young Skywalker.
Oh, man. Okay. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying to think of what it sounds like. Okay. Young Skywalker.
That was terrible.
It doesn't really work.
That didn't sound anything.
I know. I can't. Hey! Shut it. I can't do a good impression of a character that's supposedly dead.
Hey. Don't whisper in my ear.
I'll whisper in your ear if I want to whisper in your ear. Whisper.
All right, hold on. All right, I'll try it.
Okay.
Young Skywalker. It's not very good.
That was awful. That didn't sound anything like it at all.
Lord Vader.
Well, see, that's because... Can I play him saying Young Skywalker?
I mean, you can try.
Is that... Okay.
Strike me down with all of your hatred. That's not good either. Nope, I can't do it.
No. It's okay. We'll just leave it to the guy. I just want to hear the input say something. Here we go. I'm gonna click on this. All right. I'm hoping this is what I want. If not, then this is an ad. Okay, don't listen to this. Let me just all right. So here's a scene from the Impo throne room. If you just want to listen for a second.
This is definitely going to get us in trouble.
Is it?
On YouTube, they're going
to
be like...
What if we give credit to it?
No, this is going to get us in trouble.
This is from Mos Eisley Zuniga, The Emperor's Throne Room, Return of the Jedi, 1080p, HD.
Where's the Emperor?
4 years ago,
4.6. I don't hear anything.
He's right here!
I don't hear anything.
Here we go.
There's nothing.
Here we go.
All I hear is breathing.
He's spinning. No, he's spinning.
Welcome, young Skywalker.
There was. All that for 2 seconds of audio.
Welcome. Welcome, young Skywalker.
That was better. That was definitely better.